Welcome back. Glad that you could join us today for worship. Glad you could join us today on this Memorial Day as we remember those that have made the ultimate sacrifice. Looking at where God has us this day, with all that's going on in the world, with what we read in God's Word and Scripture and how it applies to our lives and stuff, for the last several months, I've been talking to you and sharing, again, having that perspective of how God wants to help grow us up, that He wants you and I to every day spend time talking to Him, listening to Him, being in His presence, and in that, letting Him cultivate so that He will grow us up. He wants to have a conversation with you. He cares about you. And in the times that as we're going to dig in today, times that just seem like maybe God is unaware or inattentive, or again, God has maybe just even forgotten us, dare I say, we feel that. We feel like it's just overwhelming. And yet, looking back, we look and go, whoa, God was there, God was there, God was there. And we find that He carried us. He held us in the palms of His hands. And He says, I am with you everywhere. And in this new growth, we need to understand that He is wanting to grow us up and to even help us flourish so that we can have know what life is meant to live, to be lived like, to know how to live it in all its fullness, that He has come so that we may have this thing called life. So how can we then lean into what God has for us? How do we cooperate? We all want to grow, but growth doesn't happen, healthy growth doesn't happen automatically. Last summer, we planted some shrubs around our pool, and Steve Sill, God bless him, and several of our friends helped to try to remove, get the thing all ready, and then we came and planted them, and I'm like, okay, and we watered them a little bit, put a little fertilizer, not much, and then we sat and watched and waited, and some of it grew, some of it even to the point where I was like, man, that's really coming along. To the point, though, or some of them just totally, like, almost declined. Like, there was some of them, they didn't even, no change, and others actually looked like they actually got worse. I'm going, what is going on here? And so we've been kind of trying to figure out this and what about that, and the weeds have been crazy, and I'm like, what is going on here? Like, what do we have to do? And it was just a great physical reminder that it's not automatic. You can create the environment, but it doesn't happen unless, again, several things have to come together. We need the right sun, the right amount of water, the right food for the plants. Again, making sure that weeds aren't taking up some of the nutrients, other things that can overtake. And I realized that it was like, this is so much like our lives with Jesus, that it's not automatic. We might come to service every Sunday, or we might even open up our Bible, great and good, and we should every day. But the reality is, how are we being open? How are we being receptive? I challenged people last week to cut out 10, 15 minutes of your day. Try to start there and maybe take a moment where you just start again in silence. Then read some scripture. Think, pray, go over, reflect. And then end with prayer and then go back through silence. And the silence isn't just to help us focus. It does a little bit of that, but it's really just to make ourselves open and to help us listen. Prayer is not just one person speaking, right? Not just us telling God a whole bunch of lists. It's God and I having a conversation. It's you and Jesus having a conversation. And it's not that we always hear or even maybe never. I mean, it just depends on, again, seasons of life, but and situations, but it helps you to know where the Lord's moving, and you just will have a peace or a focus, or He'll bring up a thought and to you, and you're like, whoa, okay, Lord, I haven't thought about that in a while, or a person to pray for, and so on. So, but again, just like again sharing about those plants, I had to tend some things. I had to do some weeding, and in that weeding, I discovered I had a major leak in my irrigation. And so here's this leak, shooting out and everything whenever it's on. And they're like, oh man. So I try a little bit of epoxy. You try to fix it like that, figuring it's good. Next time I see it, there's a big giant hole where there used to be dirt. And I'm like, oh no, it broke open, didn't it? so on and so forth. So now fast forward where then I try another type, and it's like got this wrap, and I mean, it's solid. I'm like, this thing is no trouble at all. And it didn't last either. And so there's going to be things that pop up in our lives and that might keep us from flourishing. The reality is that's why it's so important that we have those places where we can just be filled up again and renewed. We're going to have challenges in our lives, but if we lean into it, if we say, okay, Lord, I know you're good. I remember that. I know you're faithful. Help me to trust you now in this situation. It might be with a relationship. It might be with finances or doctors and health. It might be something else completely, but how are we letting those challenges we face, those things that we're going through, and taking them to the Lord and surrendering them? So today I'd like to talk to you about, to really get you to ask a question. What do you fear? Now, fear, we might, maybe that's too strong a word, I don't know. You may be strongly concerned with disappointing someone. Maybe you might, what if I fail at this? What if I succeed? What does that mean? You know, some people struggle with that. What if I don't have enough? Or I don't have, you know, I'm afraid that I won't know what to do. I need some clarity. All these things are real concerns over time in different places, different situations. But God wants to meet us there. That's the word I have for you today, that he wants to meet us right where our fears are and not just pretend about them, but really share them and help us to walk through them in hope and in strength forward and that we're not stuck there. So we're going to be digging into this new letter called 2 Corinthians. The reason it's 2 Corinthians is because we have two letters in Scripture for them. We know that Paul wrote four letters. Two of them are here. And he visited there a couple times, this place in Greece. Beautiful, beautiful area, you know, part of the world and stuff. It would have been a great, like, metropolis kind of thing. It would have been like a New York or a L.A. or something, that, you know, for us today kind of feel. London even. But it's this opportunity here that we can dig into what was going on, the fears, the challenges. The first letter was really dealing with a lot of dysfunction and unhealth and how to work through that and how to confront and do it in loving ways and how to be one in Christ, in the Lord. And now we're seeing this other images and other themes coming from this letter. The cross was evident in throughout 1 Corinthians. The cross is very evident here in 2 Corinthians. And so in pretty much in everything Paul writes, we see the cross. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing to help us understand how is the Lord and what he did for us, how he took upon all the brokenness of the world upon himself and gave it up in the cross. And in that provides the way into new life and freedom. What does that look like when we have those fears, when we have those challenges, when we have those concerns? But the cross is crucial for us to really wrap our minds around in terms of suffering. Paul is, you don't get this the same feeling of reading Paul in 2 Corinthians as you did 1 Corinthians. If you've never read them, in 1 Corinthians, you just see this like, I mean, this powerful leader, like a father. You know, he's caring for his child, this church that he just loves on and has to tell him sometimes some hard things, but he does it again in love. But he does it knowing that, listen, this is to serve them well. And so you have this beautiful picture of, again, this father who's seen so much, been through so much, but, you know, he's, you know, cheering him on and guiding them through the way. And then it's like we have this new letter, and this letter seems more of like, how he's been beaten and battered. Think of like a bad shipwreck kind of thing, right? I mean, you might just not want to go on the ocean for a while, right? Like you have a bad experience at the beach or something. You might be like, you know, let's just not come back for a long, long time. And you kind of have that feel like you saw him kind of skipping down the road and then he made a turn and did some things, maybe, you know, went to a market or something like that, came out, and now he's just got a limp. And he's just kind of getting through, and you just really feel for the guy. But he talks about how through all this, how he's learned to put his trust in the Lord. That through all the pain, all the suffering, There's one point early on in chapter one. I know I'm jumping ahead, but early on in chapter one, where he just, we thought we were going to die. We thought we were really going to lose our lives. Like, we weren't going to make it, you know. And then we'll see in chapter four where, you know, we were oppressed, but we weren't crushed. It was coming from all different places, but we made it, you know. And in those times that seem overwhelming, in those times that seem like we just don't know where God is in the challenges, maybe in COVID for you or something when it came to relationships or finances. Again, see where it fits for your world. But in those times, we sometimes don't see that we have to continue to look through the lenses of God's word, through the lenses of the good news of Jesus, that what he did about bringing the future into the present, bursting in, and how we're to live into that. That no matter what we're struggling with or what we're facing, God says, I'm enough to help you through it. There's even one fun section that we'll get to in Scripture where it talks about where Paul is like, you know, Lord, will you just take this from me? Will you just help me with this? I've been praying about this situation. He calls it like this thorn in the flesh. And God just says, nope. And it's like, what? I remember reading it going like, let me get back. Like, wait, what does that say? Like, why is he saying that? And it's about learning to not just depend on ourselves, but learn to depend on him. And you see that throughout all the writings, again, especially in 2 Corinthians, the suffering theme, and again, understanding how we can see it through the lens, again, of God's goodness in Jesus. So real quick, just a quick first four chapter, God of comfort. That God is the one who meets us in our brokenness, meets us in our challenges. This is where he again shares this whole, like, man, I thought we weren't going to make it. Like, I didn't think we was going to have any hope, any challenge, or any chance, I should say, of getting through this. You know, we felt we had received a sentence of death in verse 9. And, it's, you know, we thought we were done. We're goners. And yet he comforts them. But he comforts them and helps them know his goodness so that in times of struggle for someone else, we can help provide that comfort for them. We can support them just like God comforted us. And he comforts them too, but I think it's a both end. We need God's comfort and his work in our hearts and lives and his deep transformation and healing and wholeness. But we also need those brothers and sisters in Christ to come along us, support us, pray for us, share a word of encouragement, and sometimes share a hard word of truth, but done in love, and how we need, again, both the Lord and one another. Chapter 2 is kind of just a small section, but it's about that time to forgive. There was apparently someone in their church family that really made a real bad mistake, something that the whole church was impacted by, and now he's saying it's time. He's repented. He's sought God's forgiveness. It's time that the church forgives and restores him and moves past this. Don't get stuck there. And that's a great word for us and a great challenge for us. It's remember, there wasn't another church in another corner. This was it. So if they left the church, that might be it. Like they didn't have another one around the corner kind of thing. And so it's a challenge for us. And then chapter 3 talks about, again, this new thing that God has done in Jesus and the letter that he has given and the spirit of this new covenant and how he's writing it on our hearts. That this, the promise was this law that God had given back in the day that still is to help point the way was a temporary thing, like a bridge, a temporary bridge until they finally had what was supposed to restore everything, and that's Jesus. And so the way in Jesus helps us to have a relationship with the Lord. And so how can we live into that and experience that? And then chapter 4 is primarily focused on understanding how our weaknesses and our struggles in light of what God's doing is so minimal. We're actually going to be compared to being like clay pots, okay? These jars of clay that are just so fragile that can break here and there. But some clay pots are used for very special things, and some clay pots are used for just, you know, collecting the rainwater and nothing else kind of thing, or just for, you know, doesn't do much. The pots aren't supposed to get too excited about themselves. It's a very humbling kind of reading when you read it that way. I know when I was reading this earlier and just even mapped out some of the message and stuff earlier on, I was focused on the treasures. I just pluralized. I thought it was about, like, hey, we're a treasure in God. And don't get me wrong, we are a treasure in God, but that's not what this text is focused on. This text is focused on the treasure of God's goodness in Jesus and how all of us are called to serve. And some of us are going to have some real challenges. Paul, again, is saying, listen, just because I'm have some real, real challenges doesn't mean God's forgotten me, doesn't mean that God's not working. In fact, he's like, I even believe that because of the challenge I'm facing, it's actually going to benefit you. Because of my struggle, you're going to be blessed from it. And he's just saying, listen, it's not about the messenger isn't the focus. It's about, again, Jesus and the message that he's given us. So let's jump into this text, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 7 through 12, and we're going to be looking again at the treasure. The text goes on to say this: we now have this light shining in our hearts. Sounds really nice. Sounds really good. This light again of Jesus, this new life in Jesus, the Holy Spirit living in us. You don't have to understand it all, but just trying to unpack some things. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. And don't get me wrong, there's other aspects throughout Scripture, multiple places that God, there's even one text where it says God has like our faces tattooed on his hands in the Old Testament. Like, it's like he doesn't have a picture of us in his wallet. He's like, listen, look at this one. He doesn't have a picture on his phone. He's like, nope, it's a part, we're a part of him. And throughout 1 Corinthians, we looked at how we're all members of Christ, that we're all part of him. And what happens to him happens to us. What happens to us happens to him and each other and so on. But we're all fragile. And life can be tough, right? Life can be hard. Containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. The life change that we experience in Jesus, the life change that we get to experience in him, is nothing that we have done. It's all because of Jesus. And it's crucial that you and I understand that this power, again, is a gift from God, and that it's available to us, but we have to continually be in his presence. We have to order our lives in a way to kind of get plugged in. Have you ever had a phone or a laptop or something, and you had it charged in, and over time, next thing you know, you're like, it's not, like, wait, why is my battery going down? Like, what's going on? Maybe something wasn't working right, a cable, a charger, or maybe a fun one. It wasn't actually plugged into the wall. But, you know, it's one of those things. When we aren't staying connected to Jesus, when we're not spending time in prayer and listening in silence and solitude with the Lord and his word, we're going to struggle in living out of that power. That we're going to go, great power, that just must be really special people, like super Christians, you know, like, I mean, but no, this great power is for anyone that said yes to Jesus, that heard God's call. Now, this is the part where, again, he's unpacking some things for them that we know, like, man, they got through it, but he's worked his way through it. He didn't ignore it. He didn't pretend. He didn't just try to just say, well, you know, no big deal, God's in charge. No, he's like, listen, because in chapter 1, as I just kind of hinted to earlier, he's like, man, we thought we were goners. We thought we were done. We weren't going to make it. And then he comes and he's almost like reinterpreted it. Because in the moment, we don't always feel like God is working, that he is paying attention. And it's crucial that you and I hold on to that. Hold on to the truth that he's always there. And he's got more invested in us than we will ever have in ourselves. We'll continue. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We have lots of questions. We have experienced deep loss, in other words. Deep loss in what our lives were with the Lord and how we were living, and yet now we just don't get it. Now we have real pain. When you and I experience deep loss, we can't ignore it. In fact, let me phrase this. We can ignore it, but again, think of like me ignoring the shrubs and the things I planted. the weeds that get in. I made sure they were getting water. At least I thought they were until I found there was a leak. And then I come back and I'm like, oh, let me do some weeding here. I spent like an hour and a half and I got like 8 feet done. And this thing's a long spot, like in our property around our whole pool and everything. I'm like, oh my goodness, it just takes time, right? And the deep loss, I couldn't ignore the weeds. I couldn't ignore the lack of apparently food that they had and the challenges they were facing. I had to pay attention and I had to say, okay, what's going on? And emotionally, when we've experienced loss, when we're grieving, we have to acknowledge it. We have to turn it over to the Lord. He wants to help us heal in Him. Seen a ton this last year and a half, talking about the racial injustice, the Me Too movement, people that have experienced sexual assault and are survivors of this, and how it's impacted so much of their lives. I have friends, I have close loved ones who have experienced sexual assault, and it has impacted their lives in so many ways. And it's, I know it has cost lives, and it hurts. The deep loss can't be ignored. We have to let God meet us there. We are fragile clay jars. We need God's healing and wholeness. And it doesn't just change everything with a quick prayer. And He invites us to meet us there. But in the process, I'll tell you this, it doesn't feel like we're getting better. In fact, He's going to show things to us that He needs to heal us of. But we first got to grieve. We first got to deal with the loss and call it what it is. And so I invite you in that to not be afraid of it. If the Lord is showing you something from your past, a bad mistake, something you didn't do in your own, someone did it to you, turn it over to Him. Turn it over to Him and say, Lord, help me to give me the courage to follow wherever You lead. Let's jump back in the text. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. Whew, that's good news that they're never abandoned. It doesn't sound good being hunted, right? We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. We get knocked down, but we're not finished. God isn't done. We experience deep sorrow when we get knocked down. We experience deep sorrow when we're in despair sometimes. We experience it when we feel like we're not going to be able to make it. The troubles are overwhelming. And this deep sorrow is something where Jesus meets us and says, I'm with you. I'm with you every step. It's a learning process. The text continues on. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus. Now, let's take a quick time out. The word bodies here, when Paul uses the word bodies, he is referring to us physically, but he's also referring to everything that makes us us. So emotions, our spiritual lives, every aspect, financially, relationally, everything that makes us us. So through suffering, all our lives are impacted. We continue, though, to share in the sufferings that Jesus experienced, we experience it. And it's crucial that we understand that it's not just just try harder, or I just got to, you know, maybe this bad thing's happened to me because God's mad at me. Well, if that was the case, then, you know, Paul would be like, yeah, I really messed up, and don't do what I did. No, he's like, listen, I'm learning how to trust and how to let, through the suffering, let God use it for good. Let God use it to bring healing for others, that He's not going to waste or hurt. He continues on, so that life, the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies, in our lives. So as we experience suffering, setbacks, challenges in our lives, we can experience life in Jesus as well. We experience the death and the life. But how precious that life is. Once we've experienced the death and experienced sometimes despair, hopelessness that can get in that time of sorrow and loss, to see that through the other side, God walks with us through there. And so this is the big picture idea that I really want to encourage you to really pray over, pray through, consider, reflect on your life. How are you learning to lean on him? How are you taking your everyday life and your past experiences of things good, bad, things that were struggles, things that really, if left unattended to, could cause despair, brokenness, unhealth? How can you take that and say, Lord, help me to use that. Help me to trust you with it and experience freedom in you, life in you. Back to the text. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. That doesn't sound right, right? Today in our world, when churches weren't, like in certain parts of the country, churches weren't allowed to meet. They were discouraged from meeting. In our beginning, Florida never had that situation in our local area. But the challenge was always like, listen, please don't meet. You know, like no more than 10 people kind of thing, right? And so we, you know, trying to support and submit and kind of things when it comes to authority, because Scripture teaches us that. But here we have this, they're serving Jesus by sharing the hope, and they're being hunted down. At this point, they're experiencing one of the 10 persecutions, just the beginning part, in the first 300 years of Christianity, that the Caesars laid down the law and said, you can hunt them down, you can beat them up, you can arrest them, you can do a lot of things. And they're experiencing it, and he's like, listen, we're living under constant danger, so that the life of Jesus, though, will be evident in our dying bodies. That it's all about the message, not the messenger, but the message of Jesus and what he's doing in the world and for the world. So he wraps up. We live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. Sometimes the messenger, the challenges they face, the challenges that we struggle with, the experiences we have, is the seeds that have to die in order to sprout new life. And so this eternal life, again, remember, eternal life is that life in Christ. It's good news. That's why you'll see good news or this word, old English word, gospel, all the time. The big thing is, do not be afraid. When you and I find these challenges, when we're feeling overwhelmed, don't be afraid. There's so many times in Scripture where it says, do not be afraid. Let's try to really obey that one. When we're afraid of something, whether it be, again, something that we won't measure up, we'll fail, or we don't have enough, or whatever our fear is, our future, let us hear the words, do not be afraid. Let us remember the words. We felt crushed. We felt like we were gonna just absolutely be destroyed, that we had a death sentence. And yet, God was faithful. I hope that encourages you. I hope it challenges you. I hope that it helps you, helps me lean into what God has for us. Welcome back for the final word and the benediction. It's not a hard word. No, it is a hard word. It's hard to do. Let's go there. We need to learn to trust him with our losses. Trust him with your losses means that we wait, and it's not always easy waiting, right? We're in society where it's always immediate, right? I get frustrated when if an app closes and I'm in the middle of, like, saying, you know, putting an order in for food or something like that. I'm like, what's going on here? And stuff. But we're just not good with that. But when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to his work and deep work that he's doing us, it's not instant. You break a bone, it takes several weeks for that to heal in the best situation. We have to understand, if there's a deep wound or a deep loss that we've experienced, and if we've never dealt with it well, maybe we didn't know how to deal with it, and we're just now realizing, man, I got some things I got to work through. Don't be saddened by that. Please hear that. What's important is that we take it to the Lord and say, Lord, you've brought this to my attention. You've discovered this, or you've helped me discover it. You've brought it to my attention in this dig you've been doing in my life. Help me to know that you're with me every step, and help me know what to do through it. Maybe you need to talk to a brother or sister. Maybe you need a Stephen minister, someone that, to journey with you, to pray with you, to be a tangible reminder of God's love when you have a hurt, when you've experienced loss, and to help you through it. They're not counselors, right? They're not going to give you three easy steps for anything. No, they're going to really just try to be present. And say, what's the Lord speaking to you about? How can we help you with that? And maybe you need to see a professional counselor. It's not a bad thing. If I break my arm, I go to the hospital. I don't think I'm weak. That's just what you do. And sometimes these emotional traumas or these experiences we had, we just maybe have never thought of going to see a doctor, but in a different way. I don't want to encourage you in that. That's taking a positive, healthy, courageous next step. Maybe it's none of that you're experiencing. Maybe it's just you've never actually let it out. Maybe a loss in the family or a disappointment, and just to be able to give it to the Lord and just let him know where you're at with it. That can be hugely, hugely helpful. So I just want to encourage you, trust him with your losses. You're not in it on your own. There's brothers and sisters in Christ that have experienced such great challenges too to help you and encourage you along the way. Now, to help you with kind of staying on track with everything, again, we're reading as a family, as a church family, reading through 2 Corinthians, looking at chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8. Hope you'll be able to do that with us and enjoy that with us, because it's good. It's important. And you get so much more out of it in our relationship with the Lord too. But now, receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in your being there. Christ, who indwells you, has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. God bless. We'll see you next week.